I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today is Kay Ellison Shemarani, or Kate, who was born November 30th, 1965, in Nottingham, England. She was the youngest of three daughters, and her father was a local postman and her mother a secretary. She grew up in an average working-class environment with state schooling. In 1984, at age 18, she began her nursing training in Glasgow, Scotland. Upon qualifying, she worked in several clinical areas, gynecology, theaters, and trauma. In 1990, she began working as a long-haul air stewardess, traveling the world, and continuing to work as a nurse on rest days. In 1996, she married and had children in quick succession, who are now aged 17, 15, 15, and 13. With two boys and two girls, she became a full-time mom from 2001 until 2009. After all four children were in school, she returned to the university to re-register as a nurse and then obtained training in aesthetics and opened her own business. On February 12, 2012, Kate was diagnosed with breast cancer and followed the Gerson therapy and vitamin B13 therapy for 2 years. During this time, she studied constantly and obtained a diploma in personal nutrition, cancer, and alternative therapies. In 2014, she separated from her husband and today lives in East Sussex, South England, with her four children and seven rescue cats, and works as a practitioner advising patients on diet and lifestyle to heal degenerative disease. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kate, and I look forward to hearing about your breast cancer experience and using Gerson protocol. Now,
pleasure, thank you.
How did you come to be diagnosed with breast cancer? Did you do a breast self-exam, or did you have a mammogram?
It wasn't a standard. I had one of my cats actually kept padding my breast on my bed, and I'd got all cat scratches. She did it repeatedly for about 6 weeks, and I was rubbing the area where the cat had been padding me and scratched, and I discovered a breast lump. So I went to the doctor, and he sent me for a mammogram, which was negative, and then I had an ultrasound done the same day, and they also felt that it was nothing, it wasn't cancer, but I did have breast implants at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a needle biopsy under guidance of the ultrasound there and then, and this was sent away, and they wrote to my doctor and said they didn't think it's anything sinister. And then it came back as lobular invasive breast cancer grade 3 with a high pleomorphic presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was February 12th, 2012.
And what was your reaction to the diagnosis?
Oh, my first reaction was, oh my goodness, my children, I can't die.
Mm-hmm.
I have four children and they need me and they physically can't manage without me. That was my first thought in my head was my children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's natural, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. And that was my driving force to becoming well.
And what treatment did you select, Kate, or did the doctor select?
I went and I had an MRI scan, and they said it's only in the one breast. So because I had private health care, as well as we have national health care in this country, in the UK, I was very much rushed and pushed along very quickly. And I went down to see what was the top surgeon in the country and the top oncologist. And I was advised to have a mastectomy. So I chose to have a double mastectomy just from an aesthetic point of view. I was advised to have this mastectomy, chemotherapy, possibly radiotherapy, Zoladex, tamoxifen. And if I wasn't prepared to take those, to have my ovaries removed. So I went within 3 weeks, just before I went down, I spoke to Dr. Patrick Vickers, a Gerson doctor, and we had a long chat about doing the Gerson therapy, and I was very scared at this point, very scared. I also had my brother-in-law was a top urologist in Iran, and he took all of my notes and showed them to his oncology team at the hospital in Tehran, and they advised me to have a double mastectomy, node clearance from both arms, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, etc., etc. So I went down to London and I had a double mastectomy and a reconstruction. And in my hand were two books as I left the house, The China Study and Dr. Max Gerson's A Report of 50 Cases.
Mm-hmm.
And on day two, after having surgery, having a hemorrhage during surgery and having to have more surgery there and then to be reopened to stop the bleeding, I was in my hospital bed with five drains reading these books. And I was reading The Report of 50 Cases and I was very upset that I'd made a mistake, that this surgery wasn't going to help anything. So I asked my surgeon if I could just go home. So I arranged for someone to collect me that evening, and I went home on day two with five drains.
Mm-hmm.
And I then went to see a doctor about mistletoe during that week, the following week, and I also commenced the full Gerson therapy at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I took also B17 tablets and followed the B17 protocol.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So that was the only treatment I had. Allopathic was the surgery. I then went back and saw the oncologist and told him I wasn't prepared to do any chemotherapy or radiotherapy. So he advised me, you know, you must take this tamoxifen then and Zoladix. And I said, well, I'm not going to do that either. So he sent me off to see a gynecologist, have my ovaries removed. And it didn't make sense by then to have more surgery. Just to bring my, because my estrogen level was very high.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, I'm going to give this a try and try and bring my estrogen level down naturally, which I did. And I actually menopaused 2 years later with no side effects whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, to date, had a single hot flush, nothing.
Mm, great.
So yes, I commenced Gerson therapy. And for the next 2 years following surgery, I saw the surgeon from an aesthetic point of view because I'd had a reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw the oncologist again apart from once, and he was advising me to have another bone scan. And I said, well, that's iatrogenic. It's disease-causing all that radiation. I'm not going to do that either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I sacked the oncologist and just continued with the Gerson therapy
mm-hmm.
for 2 years solid.
Now,
and that
can
was
you...
almost 5 years ago.
Great. Can you tell us then, Kate, what is involved in the Gerson therapy?
The Gerson therapy involves all organic, fresh vegetables and fruits. So there are 13 juices a day, and those juices are one orange juice in the morning, and then there are combinations as you go through the day totaling 13, and that will be a green juice, carrot and apple juice, carrot juice. And the green juices are very specific. You don't add anything other than what's on the list. If you can't source some of those ingredients, you just add more of what you have. And that would be chicory, chard, watercress, green pepper, romaine lettuce, red cabbage, an apple, all kinds of lettuces except iceberg. I think that's about it. The carrot and apple is as it is, carrot and green Granny Smith apples. You don't peel any of the carrots,
mm-hmm.
because, of course, the
mm-hmm.
vitamins and minerals are directly under the skin. And the carrots, just carrot juice. So you would have juices in the morning, throughout the morning, lunchtime, throughout the afternoon, tea time. But you would also have three meals a day, which would be porridge oats in the morning, and then vegetables, jacket potato for lunch, and a salad. And again, the same for tea, vegetables, a salad, and more potatoes. And you could also, after 6 weeks, you could have 200 mils of fat-free organic yogurt. This is a fat-free, salt-free
mm-hmm.
vegan
mm-hmm.
diet. Now, I also had five coffee enemas a day, which, as a nurse, when I first heard this, I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm not doing that. That's so bizarre. And I then researched coffee enemas and how they came about. So I did these five coffee enemas a day. Now, for the first, I think it was the first 3 months, I also did a castor oil every other day, where I would drink 20 mils, I think it was, of castor oil, and then I would have castor oil in one of the enemas. And this was to speed up the detoxification process. So when you do the coffee enemas, the bile ducts open and all the toxins come out your liver, in a very simplistic term. But this was to stop them being reabsorbed and to speed up that detox process. So this was, and then as the 2 years went on, the juices were slightly decreased, from 13 down to 10. And the coffee enemas were decreased from 5 to 4. Then after 6 more months, they were decreased down to 3, and then 2. And I still do between 1 and 2 every day now, almost 5 years on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also specific supplements for the Gerson therapy, and that is taking natural thyroid, iodine, which is in the form of half-strength Lugol solution, very measured. I wouldn't advise anyone just to do this on their own
mm-hmm.
without a therapist or going to the clinic. And this would be, you would start off on the full 5 grains and the full amount of drops of Lugol. I would take pancreatic enzymes, acidol. I would take potassium compound, which is you make it into a solution and you add it to all of the juice. And I took turmeric. I think I took 1,000 milligrams with each meal of turmeric, so 3,000 a day. Niacin, which of course is vitamin B3, which causes vasodilation, so you want maximum oxygen to all the cells, because cancer cells require, as you know, fermentation. They don't want oxygen,
mm-hmm.
and oxygen will kill them. So niacin was another one of them. And I took desiccated liver capsules. I think when Dr. Gerson first started, they used to use raw calf's liver. But you can't get that so much now because of certain bacteria and becoming sick. So some people would take the crude liver injections. I took the desiccated liver capsules.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for 2 years solid. It very much... And the juices were hourly, actually. You had them hourly, on mm-hmm. the hour, every hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I think recent research is that you can actually make them up. Of course, nothing substitutes fresh.
Mm-hmm.
When it's fresh, it's alive and it's great, and after 1 hour it starts to decrease, but you can actually make them up in advance now. So if you're going anywhere, you can make up some carrot and apple juices and take them with you in an airtight mm-hmm. metal flask.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doable.
Now, Kate, did you have anything cooked beyond porridge?
Yes, I would have jacket potatoes, boiled potatoes,
right. mm-hmm.
and I would cook a vegetable. So, for instance, I would cook a jacket potato, and maybe a red sweet bell pepper,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then I would make a big salad, and soup. I forgot the soup, Hippocrates soup, which is tomatoes, potatoes, celery, onions, and you make the soup up, and you have it, and then you put it through a grinder, so you get just the liquid without the fibers in it, and you have this soup before each meal.
Mm-hmm.
You have it before lunch, you have it before tea. And as I understand it, the coffee enemas are to cleanse the liver, the soup is to cleanse the kidneys.
And could you have dressing on your salads?
Yep, you can have. You have apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to make up a little bit of my yogurt allowance. I used to make up a little container of apple cider vinegar, yogurt, crushed garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Certain herbs you can use. You can't use basil, it's too aromatic, but you can use rosemary, thyme, sorrel. I would use different herbs. I would use so much garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put this on all of my salads, a little bit of dill, and it was delicious. I would also have days where I would make carrots and use up my yogurt allowance.
Mm-hmm.
I would cook the carrots, put them in the blender with the yogurt and some dill, and I would make this wonderful carrot and dill dip.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have all my veggies all lined up, sliced up, and potatoes. And I would dip it into it. And, of course, my kids eat this way now. They
mm-hmm.
would watch me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to make, sometimes because I used to see everybody eating pies, I would stew some fruit, some apples or apricots or rhubarb when it was in season. And I would stew the fruit. And it's very sweet. You know, you can put raisins in there or sultanas, which are very sweet. And then I would push porridge oats into the top to form a crust. And then I would have a crumble,
mm-hmm.
a Gerson crumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have a little bit of this with dessert. So, you know, I would make cookies as well with porridge oats and apples. And I would a little bit of sultanas. And then I would flatten them all into a baking tray and a tiny bit of honey and leave them to dry out. You're allowed, I think it's one teaspoon of honey or a couple
mm-hmm.
of teaspoons of
mm-hmm.
sugar a day, as long as it's obviously organic and raw. So I would use this up and I would make a cookie, and I would, so there, you know, there are lots of things you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you could have yogurt, because I look
only
back,
after the first 6 weeks.
Oh.
And it must be fat-free and organic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And very specific, only 200 mils, which is what, 6 tablespoons?
Mm-hmm. Well, I looked back on my protocol yesterday because someone asked me a question and I couldn't remember, and So I looked back on the things that I have that the doctor gave me, and I could have yogurt in a very small amount on cereal, but I couldn't have any dairy beyond that.
Yes, that was all I could have, just a maximum of 2 tablespoons, three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
It was very specific, and it must be fat-free, organic, live. So it was, sometimes I would save that up, and I would put it in a little sieve and hang it over the sink to make cottage cheese from it. And I'll have a little bit of the cottage cheese then with my jacket potato. But I got very savvy very quickly, and I used all my local supermarkets and organic shops, and they all would get organic produce in for me. And you learn very quickly, you know, I was eating all different kinds of fruits and vegetables that I hadn't really tried. And, you know, my kids used to love French fries. I think they're called in America. We call them chips here in the UK.
Right, right.
I would just once a week cut the potatoes with the skins on it into chips, but no oil, nothing, and just bake them in the oven for 2 hours. And so my kids would devour these, and I, instead of giving them mayonnaise, which is rubbish full of oil, I would do fat-free organic yogurt, fat-free organic creme fraiche, tiny little bit of organic mustard seeds, and it would taste like mayonnaise. And they would have this with these chips. So it's, you know, once you get in the swing of it, it Gerson on, you just go on and on with it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and then as you mentioned, some things are like, oh boy, I can have this.
Oh, when I could have the yogurt after 6 weeks, what a difference.
Right.
And of course, and you can't have any oil. No oils, just cold-pressed organic flaxseed oil. And no more than 15 mils a day, which is 1 tablespoon. So for me personally, I would just get that out of the way in the morning. I still do. I have my porridge. I put the flaxseed oil on the table, and I have 1 tablespoon, and that's me done. But for my kids, I make salad dressing for them with flaxseed oil and a little bit of yogurt, a little bit of dill, apple cider vinegar, garlic. You can do so much with it. So many wonderful recipes that you can have with Gerson therapy.
Do you use coconut oil at all now?
No. And the reason you don't use coconut oil when you have cancer is, you know, for my kids, yes, I'll cook with coconut oil for them. I'll fry an egg with coconut oil for them. But if you're a patient suffering from cancer, cancer is toxicity, deficiency, and failure to generate energy at a cellular level. So coconut oil takes a lot of energy to burn it up. And you need that energy for repair. You need that energy for healing. And that's why you don't have coconut oil. Just the 15 mils cold-pressed organic flaxseed oil per day.
And you mentioned the pancreatic enzymes. I also use those.
Yes. Well, when Professor John Beard, who was an embryologist in 1902 at the University of Edinburgh, and he talks about the trophoblast theory and cancer, and one of the things he mentioned, you know, diabetics are far more likely to have cancer than non-diabetics. And when we eat a diet high in fat and sugar and processed foods, it requires lots of trypsin and chymotrypsin from the pancreas. Well, if you're already diabetic, then you don't have a lot of that left over either. So if you're eating all of these foods, you're going to be using up all of these enzymes as trypsin and chymotrypsin. Well, cancer cells, they are negatively charged. And the monocytes in the immune system are also negatively charged. And so they repel these white cells. So the way your body can tackle this is it dissolves this negative outer coating. And what does it do to do that? It uses trypsin and chymotrypsin from the pancreas. Well, if you're using all this up by eating all these processed foods, then you're not going to have any left to kill these cancer cells. And our body kills cancer cells all the time. And this is where you have tumors growing. So the pancreatic enzymes are to help digest all these foods, because if you had enough of these in the first place, you wouldn't have cancer. Makes perfect sense. And I do really like John Beard's trophoblast theory of cancer. And it was proven as recently as 2007 to be correct, even though he wrote this in 1902.
Well, I think a lot of times people that write and also practice are way, way, way ahead of research.
Absolutely. Dr. Max Gerson was described by Albert Schweitzer, who is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, as a genius beyond his time, a medical genius.
Yep. Now, you mentioned that you did the vitamin B17. Were there other therapies that you used, or was it mental, spiritual therapies that you used?
I did. I did the B17 tablet protocol because, of course, it's illegal. You can't get Laetrile in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the same in America.
Right.
I also took, I would take about between 3 and 15 grams of vitamin C. I would take it orally with a lipospheres.
Mm-hmm.
I had mistletoe, I did those for 2 years. I had mistletoe Iscador injections for a year.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I stopped that was because that would give me an artificial pyrexia, an artificial temperature, because all cancer cells die at high temperature. But of course, the Gerson therapy aims to restore your own immune system, so you can do that not artificially. You do that mm-hmm. naturally yourself. So I decided to stop that. Now, I also did a thing called the healing code, where you say a specific prayer and you hold your hands over a specific point above your temple, above what would be your third eye, over the thyroid gland. And I did this prayer 3 times a day for about 6 minutes each time, every day for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this was to, the prayer specifically talks about, I give myself permission to be loving and forgiving towards myself, God, and others.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about forgiving myself for all the things which I felt so much guilt about. I was very unhappily married, and things that my children had seen within this marriage that they really shouldn't have. And it was to help me heal all of this. And I also, I was reading a book one day, and it was Are You Sleeping in a Safe Place by Dr. Ralph Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about geopathic stress. So I thought, oh, I'll have a look at this. So I had my house doused. And where I live on a hill. And when they built the house, they did a lot of work with the foundations, and they flooded some properties further down the hill. And it affects the water issues, and you can get a lot of geopathic stress. So I thought, I'll have my house doused. I had it doused. And they said, you have lots of geopathic stress in your house. And they drew me a plan, and they asked me to draw where the beds were in my house. And they said to me, they came back, and Dr. Gordon said, who sleeps in this bed? And I said, well, I do. And he said, do you have any problems with your chest? And I thought, yes, I do. I've had breast cancer. And then he went to another bed. He said, who sleeps in this bed? And I said, my daughter. He said, does she have any problems with her abdomen? And I said, yes, she does. She's been in hospital. She's very underweight. And so I have 2 geopathic stress absorbers
mm-hmm.
at each end of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And every 3 months, I lie them down for 4 hours, then put them back on the wall. And when I looked into all of this, a lot of farmers know all about geopathic stress. It makes their cattle lame.
Oh.
It makes their cattle have stillbirths. So this is something that's been around for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So these were all things that I personally did. But the mainstay of my whole therapy was my Gerson therapy
mm-hmm.
for my diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else was an adjunct to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kay, you talked with me earlier about all of the conditions that you had besides cancer before you started the Gerson therapy and how that cleared all of those things up. Can you tell us about this? Because I found
yes.
that interesting.
Yes. So when I was diagnosed in February 2012, I was 46 years old. I was crazy exercising, but I was getting fatter and fatter. I was a good 28 pounds what I was normally, you know, before I'd had children. I had a problem with my thyroid. My thyroid was very low functioning. I had, my eyesight was rapidly going downhill. I was becoming more and more long-sighted. I was suffering from bradycardias, which is a very slow pulse. And along with this, I would get terrible headaches, terrible migraine headaches. My menstrual cycle was very, very heavy, and I was becoming anemic because of it. It was very irregular. I would get very depressed at times. I had suffered lots and lots of fungal infections, yeast infections, and I also had, with my skin, hyperkeratosis, which is the horny bumps up and down my arms, down the backs of my leg. And so I began doing Gerson. And I also had plantar fasciitis, which is inflammation in the tendons. And then I would get out of bed in the morning and my feet would hurt. They would be very, very painful. And I would notice that my index finger of my right hand, when I was injecting patients, because of course I worked as an aesthetic nurse, my joints would stick and click. And my hands in the wintertime, all of my joints were becoming quite enlarged. So I had arthritis starting in my hands. I had psoriasis on my scalp. Small patch of psoriasis. So I began Gerson therapy, and within about 6 weeks, I no longer had any of these symptoms at all, nothing. I began the therapy in the March, And by the June, I had lost over 30 pounds in weight, and I was eating more food than I'd ever eaten. I had the figure I'd always wanted again. And I noticed that in the morning, I could read without my spectacles on. So I was taking my kids along to the opticians, the optometrists, to have their eyes checked yearly. And I had mine checked, and she said, well, your eyesight's improved. It's as it was 3 years ago, and this is not possible. This doesn't normally happen. We normally see eyesight when people are short-sighted, their eyesight improves, but never long-sighted. And so to this day, 5 years on, I can still read when I'm very tired and I've been working on my computer. Sometimes I struggle, but I can read now without glasses completely. Mm-hmm. Now, I did the full therapy for 2 years. By the time I entered the third year, I menopaused naturally. And the only reason I knew I'd menopaused was I no longer had a menstrual cycle. And so I had this confirmed with a blood test. To date, I've not had a single hot flush. I don't get the migraine headaches anymore. I never have the plantar fasciitis anymore. If I do eat something I shouldn't, then I might get a little bit of uneven skin, but that goes. I certainly don't suffer from, I've never had a fungal infection. I used to get cystitis an awful lot, which is an infection in the bladder. I've never had it, never had cystitis. I mean, I would get that regularly every few months. I've never had that the whole time since I began Gerson therapy, nothing. And I also had very high inflammatory markers, and I'd had breast implants prior to having cancer and had the implants, and then I'd had an encapsulation 2 years later. 6 months later, I had to have another one replaced, another encapsulation, and another. So I had all these encapsulations and very high inflammatory markers. I have a reconstruction now. My inflammatory markers are very low, and I've not suffered at all with an encapsulation. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good.
And I think I've only had, in 5 years, two colds. Mm-hmm. And yet before that, I'd had flu many times. Mm-hmm. So I've had nothing. Everyone gets sick. Everyone gets sickness and diarrhea come the winter. Nothing. And mm-hmm. I have these four teenagers. So I very rarely get anything. I might feel a little bit under the weather one day, and then I know my immune system's kicking in. The next day, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Do you take anything specific for the immune system now, Kate?
I still take turmeric. I still take niacin. I still take the potassium in some of my juices. I still take a little bit of Lugol solution. Mm-hmm. I still take a grain or two of thyroid because I had a thyroid disorder because I flew for 10 years mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. cabin crew. I still take vitamin D3 and I take vitamin K2. Mm-hmm. I live in a country where we don't get a lot of sunshine. So particularly in the winter months, it's important that I take the D3. I take selenium and zinc, which is a support for the thyroid. Mm-hmm. I take one drop of vitamin B12 every day, and I think that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Now, you said that it took 2 years before you had overcome the breast cancer?
Well, I had surgery. So there are those who would argue, well, you had surgery, that saved you. But if you understand cancer is systemic.
Right, right.
The breast cancer was just a symptom of cancer. Mm-hmm. And this is why when you cut out the tumor, or you poison it with chemotherapy or radiate it with radiotherapy, you hear that everybody's fine for about 9 months or a couple of years, and then it comes back. Mm-hmm. And when it comes back, it's in the liver, it's in the brain, it's in the lungs, it's in the bones, and they can't do anything. So the therapy, it was described to me that you are out at sea and you're on a boat, and there's a piece of rope attaching you to a little island with a palm tree, which is life. And so you're out there, and it takes a good 2 years before you start pulling yourself into shore on that boat. And at the end of the 2 years, you're at shore. So it takes 2 years to restore the immune system and to detoxify the body of all the toxins. So although initially, for people, I know people that have done Gerson therapy, and their tumors have just shrunk, they've just melted away, but they still must continue, because although the tumor's gone, the body will still be toxic and still be deficient.
Mm-hmm.
So you're merely getting rid of that symptom, but you must continue for the full 2 years to restore the immunity.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, a naturopathic doctor, has just developed a protocol for detoxing following chemotherapy or radiation, because she says, you know, that those toxins are still in the body and that there's still cancer cells in the body, and that in order to really overcome that, you need to detox after the chemo and radiation. And
as I understand it, with chemotherapy, you're merely adding more toxins
right.
to the body, which is already toxic.
Right.
And understanding, going back to Professor John Beard's trophoblast theory of what cancer is, the trophoblast cell, which is the very beginning of life after conception has occurred, and you have this cell that divides and divides and divides, these trophoblast cells then become the placenta in the placenta. So going back to that theory, we all have potential cancer cells mm-hmm. because these trophoblast cells will go wherever our body needs growth and repair. And then when they've done their job, they are switched off by the immune system, by many ways. So we will always have these cells in the body, and this is why the Gerson therapy is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when you've had chemotherapy, you have to be very careful. And Dr. Gerson himself discovered this. You have to do a much lesser version with the coffee enemas because you're going to be releasing all of those toxins from the liver, which is everything you've ever taken, plus the chemotherapy drugs all at once. And you can put your patient into hepatic coma
mm-hmm.
because it's just too much. It overloads the body. Now, as I understand radiation, when we irradiate something, it's accumulative, and it's just held within the body. So I couldn't answer really on mm-hmm. that particular therapy of how you would detox from
mm-hmm.
radiotherapy
mm-hmm.
Because it's not how I understand it. For me, everything I've researched in 5 years as a nurse of over 30 years, and I have a diploma in nutrition, the Gerson therapy covers all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's detoxing, and it's restoring the immune system. But I think to do a one-pronged attack, you know, we're going to do this to detox the body, you still have to put all those nutrients back in the body.
Mm-hmm.
You've just still got to just flood the body with all those nutrients every day and organic produce nutrients, because commercially grown vegetables are grown in something very different, and they
mm-hmm.
just don't have all the vitamins and minerals in.
Now, Kay, you mentioned you didn't go back to the oncologist. What diagnostic tests did you do to look at progress during your therapy?
Well, I would have my bloods taken every 6 weeks because
mm-hmm.
I was deficient. At diagnosis, I was deficient in vitamin D. I was deficient in B12.
Mm-hmm.
I had very low iron count, very low total iron binding capacity. So I would continue having blood tests done, looking at my iron levels, as I discussed, D3 levels.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at my hormone levels because, of course, cancer is fueled by estrogen. It's a growth
mm-hmm.
promoter.
Mm-hmm.
So my estrogen was very high. So I was looking to see that estrogen coming down. And it did fall very rapidly. I was looking at my cholesterol level because my cholesterol had climbed. And understanding the thyroid converts cholesterol to pregnenolone progesterone. Progesterone is the antagonist for estrogen. So I was looking at all of these. I would go every 6 weeks and have all of this done. And I would have my tumor markers done, my CA15, CA125 for breast and ovarian cancer. I would have my liver function test done. And looking at my biochemistry results, looking at my potassium and my sodium, because, of course, when you have a lot of sodium, it displaces the potassium out of the cell. The cell becomes edematous, full of water, and then electrical conductivity can't occur across the cell. What is cancer? Cancer is toxicity, deficiency, and failure to generate energy at a cellular level. So I would take potassium, and I was looking to see that my sodium level was remaining a certain level
mm-hmm.
in my blood tests. And then, other than that, I had an ultrasound every 3 months just to check the integrity of the breast implants for the reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anyone else other than a surgeon for that. And
mm-hmm.
my yardstick that I was getting better was myself.
Mm-hmm.
I looked well. I felt well. I felt incredibly well. I slept like a log. I was up at, you know, 4:45 in the morning. I would zing. I would wake up. I would go straight in the bathroom and do my first enema. I had no problem doing it. I had so much energy. Nothing hurt anymore. I had no sickness. I had no headaches. And people were telling me I looked fantastic. People were telling me I looked a lot younger than my years. I felt great.
Mm-hmm.
This was my measure. This was my personal measure, along with my blood test, that I was doing well. And of course, one of my own general practitioner, my GP, said to me one day, she laughed and she said, "What about going to see the oncologist, you know, to check you're all right. How do you know you're okay? And I said, because I'm still alive. And that was the best one for me. It was just crazy. Go and see somebody for them to put me through a big radiation chamber to see if I'd got tumors anywhere. And that bone scan was going to eventually, it was iatrogenic, it was disease causing, it was going to give me tumors in years to come just to check if I had any more tumors right now. It was bonkers.
Mm-hmm. Kate, you did have some pain then, is that correct, during the process?
During the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I had my initial pain when I had the surgery. And then 9 months into the Gerson therapy, I had to have the implants, which I'd had put in during the reconstruction, I had to have them replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going into the hospital for 3 days as planned, I said, oh, I'm just going to come in for the day. And I don't want any painkillers. I don't want any of your drugs pumping into me, just the anesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this anesthetic, and I was in terrible pain. And I went home thinking I must be crazy. And as soon as I got home, I did an enema every 2 to 3 hours. And that was the Saturday. By the Monday morning, I had no pain.
Oh.
Because, of course, coffee enemas were used 70-plus years ago as pain control.
Oh, they were?
Coffee enemas. Oh. In the First World War, they noticed that when they gave the patients the coffee enemas, they had no pain when they didn't have opiates. So coffee enemas were used in medicine before opiates came into fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that Dr. Max Gerson used was green juice.
Mm-hmm.
As an enema. That also took away pain. I used to have a thing called flare-ups, which are healing,
mm-hmm. kind
of, where I would mm-hmm. all of a sudden, during the therapy, and they became less and less, all of a sudden my left nostril would run. I would get a really high temperature, 39, for no reason, it would just happen. And every single joint in my body would hurt, my toes, my finger joints, my phalanges, my spine, everything would hurt. And I felt like I had the flu, but with none of the other symptoms. And this would go on for several hours, and then it would stop, and
mm-hmm.
I would be quite
mm-hmm.
tired. Then the next day, I would be euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
I would have so much energy. And these are described by many patients, and in Dr. Gerson's book, as these are healing reactions and,
mm-hmm.
and flare-ups. There are two different things, but these were what they were. And then as the therapy went on, I had less and less.
Great. B17 should have also provided some relief from pain.
Well, the B17, I was taking it. So whether it was the B17 when I had the surgery or
mm-hmm.
Gerson, I was
mm-hmm.
having it, you know. I did a three-pronged attack. You know, I mm-hmm. did Gerson, I did my B17 and mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, those who don't know what B17 is, it's two molecules of glucose, one molecule of cyanide, one molecule of benzaldehyde, totally inert. They don't cause you any harm whatsoever until they come into contact with a substance called beta-glucosidase, which is only found in cancer cells. When they come into contact with this, synergy occurs of the cyanide and the benzaldehyde, and they kill the cancer cell. When you don't have cancer or whatever's left over, filters through the liver, and it becomes analgesic, and it's used by the liver of regulating blood pressure. So I just took that as the tablet protocol.
Mm-hmm. Kate, if you had to go through this again, would you select the same therapies?
If I were to go through all of this again, for me personally, now I'm not giving this advice anybody. This is my personal advice, not my advice as a nurse. For me personally, I bitterly regret having surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I now believe that I could have dissolved those tumors because I was told I had a tumor of just under 5 centimeters, but they weren't. They were lots of tumors that they put them all together and it made 5 centimeters
mm-hmm.
or just under. If I were to do this all again, I would have no surgery. I would have gone and had my implants removed and I would have had Gerson therapy. I
mm-hmm.
would have possibly had the mistletoe injections into the tumor. I would do the B17 again. If I could afford it, I would have gone over to Dr. Patrick Vickers' clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Northern Baja Gerson Center, I would have gone there because, you know, I've seen it done and the patients get 3 weeks of the therapy all being done for them and they get lots of teaching sessions
mm-hmm.
on how to do it, whereas I had to do it all at home with DVDs and books and that was pretty hard going with my kids as well.
Right.
But I would do all of it exactly the same, except I'd possibly, for me personally, I wouldn't have done the surgery.
Great, good.
And I live the Gerson way now. I have a Gerson household. I have all organic food. We only eat organic. If money's a little bit tighter, you know, everybody needs new shoes, then we just buy in season. I don't buy out of season. We don't have as many luxuries, but we eat Gerson food. Mm-hmm. I have a water distiller. We don't drink tap water. Tap water in the UK has fluoride. Fluoride depletes the thyroid gland of iodine and dips the immunity. So we use non-fluoride toothpaste. Incidentally, none of my kids have cavities.
Mm-hmm.
I have a boy nearly 18, twins nearly 16, and another girl nearly 14. They don't have a single cavity in their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my children has never had antibiotics in his life, and the other three have had them once. And so we don't have tap water. We don't use fluoride toothpaste. We eat all organic. Yeah, my kids will have a little bit of cheese. They eat a little bit of fish. We don't eat meat. I'm totally vegan. My kids will have, you know, like I say, the fish. But we pretty much eat the Gerson way.
Great.
I preach it to everyone. Mm-hmm. All my friends come here, and they'll have Gerson food.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, Kate, what advice do you have for others who have just been diagnosed with cancer?
If you've been diagnosed with cancer, that cancer didn't happen overnight. So don't let any doctor or nurse push you into therapy. You don't need to rush and rush off and have pieces of your body chopped off or poison yourself or be irradiated. You have the right to an informed consent, a true informed consent. Research. We have the internet now. Research everything you possibly can. Don't take one person's opinion. Go and look at everyone that's done every single therapy. Look at survival rates. Don't just look at what you're being told, because statistics are often strewed. You're very misled. Take your time. When you choose your therapy, stick to that therapy. Don't let anyone distract you or tell you it's wrong. Listen to your inner voice. And, you know, when you've chosen it, stick to it. Believe in it. And believe that cancer doesn't come from outside. It's our own body. It's our own body. It grows within us. It's our own cells. And keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Find others. Find support. You know, hang with those that support your decisions. There's no point hanging out with people who keep telling you it's wrong and you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Go find people that are like-minded. You know, it's that very famous thing, isn't it? Smokers will hang out with smokers because it validates their negative behavior. Go hang out. For me, I went and hung out with other people that did what I did, or people that believed in it. So, you know, go and find people that will reinforce what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Make your decision, stick to it, but don't rush. And don't let anyone rush you.
That's good advice, because now...
And be a vegan. Vegan.
Right.
It's the best diet. Be a vegan. Vegan diets, if you look at, you know, how much energy is required by your body to break down everything else that you're eating, be a vegan. Be an organic vegan. Start growing your own vegetables and fruit. It's even cheaper. Get a juicing machine. I have a distiller. Get a distiller or a big Berkey water filter. And just get your whole family, get all of your family joining in. Because if you have cancer, your kids are made of the same constitution as you. So they are more likely to get it. This is why you can get a whole family and you'll find all of the siblings will get cancer, because they all tend to eat the same way. So get your whole family involved. If they're on board, get them to stick with it.
Mm-hmm. That was good advice about hanging out with people that are positive, because the whole field of epigenetics now and...
Absolutely. Yes. Negative. All of the negative emotions resonate at a very low frequency. And the good emotions, joy, happiness, love, resonate at a very high frequency. And there is the law of attraction. We will attract exactly, you know, the very famous, when you worry about something, that's what you attract. So if you're, you know, you go to a beautiful big event, a party, and there's a big staircase, you think, oh, please, Lord, don't let me trip down those stairs. Please don't let me trip. The next thing, you go head over heels down the stairs. Because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we think about it all of the time, that's what we bring into us. So I was very much, I closed my ears to all of those. I lost friends. Anyone who said what I was doing was wrong, I lost friends. They didn't. You know, they were telling me it was wrong. I just had to distance myself from them. And I only kept those around me who believed in what I was doing. Absolutely, 100%.
Right, right. Now, Kate, do you have books, services, products, or anything you'd like
to discuss? I have a website which is very much in its infancy, which has just gone live because I have an event on November 12th. Am I allowed to say?
Yeah.
I have a Center for Curing Cancer, which which is an event which is held in the UK at East Sussex National Hotel and Golf Resort. And it's 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., and I have Dr. Patrick Vickers as my main speaker, talking about the Gerson therapy and my story. I will tell my story. And my website has gone live because of the event, but I can be contacted through kate@gersonuk.com. And I now advise patients. I have my own patients with cancer, and I advise them on diet following the Gerson therapy, etc.
That's wonderful. And did you give us the website?
Yes, kate@gersonuk.com. I will, you know, I'll email you my website details, all of those, and you can maybe put it up for me. I'll email it to you today.
Okay, good, good.
That would be great.
Then put it when I advertise the show.
But yes. Certainly, you know, when I was first diagnosed, I spoke to Dr. Patrick Vickers, as I spoke with you earlier, mm-hmm. and he's just an incredible wealth of information, a plethora of information, and he sent books and DVDs to me, and then I didn't go to his clinic, and I went, you know, I did my therapy at home, and I used the therapist, Catherine Alexander. I recently went to his clinic in Mexico, and it was incredible. The Northern Baja Gerson Center, incredible for patients to learn the therapy and just have the juices brought to them every hour.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those patients were very sick, and I saw wonderful things when I was there, tumors shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
Patients who came in and could hardly walk, and they were now walking around, which is, you know, wonderful.
And thanks to you, I'll have an interview with Dr. Vickers
you
later.
You do, indeed. And that will be, he is an incredible man. And he actually lived with Charlotte Gerson. And he was able to read Dr. Max Gerson's manuscripts, which mm-hmm. very few people have ever seen, his handwritten manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he lived with Charlotte for 6 years. And he worked at the institute, but now his clinic does the advanced Gerson treatment,
mm-hmm.
and he incorporates Laertrol, vitamin C, hyperbaric oxygen chamber, Beamer mats. He does infrared treatment. He does lots of other therapies down there,
mm-hmm.
as well as the Gerson therapy, which is the, you know, the foundation, and the rest are adjuncts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much.
Thank you,
Kate. This has been very, very interesting and very informative, and I am happy to get many more specifics on the Gerson therapy.
Yes, please, and keep in touch via email. And I'm in total awe of you because, of course, we are fellow nurses.
Right,
and I would
right.
love to get to your age, too. Congratulations on making it.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. And I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.